about God's provision. So John's Gospel and chapter 6. Looking for page number 1069. So page 1069, John's Gospel, chapter 6. Okay. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing those who were ill. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So over these last few weeks, we have been taking time to reflect upon the words of the Lord's Prayer. And this, of course, is only part of the Lord's Prayer. It's as far as we've got after almost a couple of months of looking at this prayer. And you will remember, I'm sure, that the disciples of Jesus come to Jesus asking for a prayer. "Teach us to pray, Lord," just as John the Baptist taught his disciples. What Jesus' disciples are after is a distinctive statement, a distinctive prayer that marks them out so that people hearing that prayer will know, oh, they belong to Jesus. That's what they want. That's what they're looking for. And so Jesus gives them these words. "When you pray, say this: Our Father in heaven." You remind yourself as you pray, "I am inextricably linked to God. He is my Father. His DNA is within me. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't escape from it. But I am related to my Father in heaven." And there are certain distinctives of his character, his values, his ethos, the way God, my Father, does things that inevitably will come out in me eventually, because I am his child. And we pray, "Our Father in heaven." Then we say, "Hallowed be your name," "Holy be your name," or "Holy be your reputation." We're asking God, what we want is that when people name the name of God, when they think about you, what do we want them to think? We want them to say that God is holy. The reputation of God is holy. That is, that the love of God is not limited like our love seems to be, but it is immense. It is extraordinary. It is magnificent, wonderful, and it is so extraordinary, so immense, so without limit, that we say it is holy. That when we think of the justice of God, and when other people who don't follow God, when they think of the justice of God, we're saying, hallowed be your name. We want your reputation to be. The justice of God is so awesome, so wonderful, so extraordinary. The word we can use is, your justice is holy. And what we want is for the reputation of God to be holy, to be so other than anything we've experienced before. And that's our prayer. God, our Father, may your name be holy. Hallowed be your name. And then we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want the kingdom of God to come. We want the King of the kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to be present amongst us. We want the will of God, God's desire for us as individuals. God's desire, his will for us as a community, his desire, his will for us, for all creation to be done. What is that will? It is that will, that desire that God has for us, that we should be everything he's created us to be, that we should live in love and joy and peace, that we should be good. And we might enjoy the blessing of sharing that with others, that we might reflect the goodness of God. What is his will and desire for creation? It might be that it is that it might reflect the glory and the holiness of God. And so we pray. We look around our world and we say, our world is a mess. Do you know, as I said a few weeks ago, you know, it's not good for your soul, I don't think, to watch news on a Sunday morning, let alone any other time, because we just think, crikey, where are we heading? And we pray, your kingdom come, your will, your desire for us, may it be done. Start with us, on earth as it is in heaven. And then we come to our phrase for today. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. And in the short time we have, I've just got three words that I'm going to use as hooks for what I share. Provision, sufficiency, and fairness. We pray, Father, give us today our daily bread. And we begin with this word, provision. As we pray, give us today our daily bread, we're quite specifically aiming our prayer at God, and we're asking him to give to us. Give us today our daily bread. As we pray, give us today our daily bread, we're acknowledging that God is the one who provides all that we need. God is the one who provides all that we need. Now, you and I know, if you need bread, where'd you go? Supermarket. Do you know? To Tesco, to Morrison, to Co-op, wherever it is you go. You might, I don't know, you might get some flour and yeast and water and salt and put it together and make your own. Anybody do that on a regular basis? Make your own bread? It's a good thing to do. You know? You know, we live in a world where we are detached from our food. We don't know where it comes from, really. Whatever the label says, we're not sure. We are so removed from what is provided for us. And when we pray that simple line, give us today, we're aiming at God, you give us. We want to remind ourselves that you are the provider of all that we need. We don't want to live as complacent people. We don't want to live thinking, well, do you know what? We can get by without God. We quite deliberately place ourselves in relationship with God and in a place of dependence upon God. And so we pray, God, you give us our daily bread. And we remind ourselves again and again and again. God is the one who provides everything we need. And we can say to our neighbours and to our friends and to other people, you can look elsewhere for all that you need. But for us, as followers of Jesus, we quite deliberately focus our attention upon God and say, we understand where our food comes from. And we might say, the earth is the Lord's and everything within it. To remind ourselves, God is the one who provides. God is the one who provides our daily bread. God is the one who provides all the sustenance we need every day. God is the one who provides for us good friends and relationships. God is the one who provides gifts for us so that we can work and have that sense of fulfillment. God is the one who gives to us that sense of peace and security that we need to get on. God is the one who gives to us the gifts of others who help us and support us and heal us. God is the one who provides. And when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we are directing our prayer at God and saying, we choose to live here, understanding God is the one who provides. But of course, that has an impact then upon our attitude to what we have. Because if we're disconnected from our food, if we're disconnected from all the things that we have, if we say, I know we pray the prayer, give us today our daily bread, and I'm very thankful for that, but I have provided for myself all of these other things. We can be very blasé about what we have got. And we can be very much of the attitude, well, I have a right to all these other things. I have a right to all the food that I have and all the things that I have because I have provided them for myself. But if we say, no, God, I'm going to depend upon you, our attitude to what we have changes. Our attitude to what we need changes. And we begin to realize, I don't need so many of these other things because I'm only praying, give us today our daily bread. You may have come across a movement called minimalism. This is not an art project, but it could be. But there is a movement that's about minimalism. And this is where people lay out all of their clothes. And they say, well, how many clothes do I need? How many pairs of shoes do I need? And it's different for every person, but some might say, you know, I need 3 pairs of shoes because I need one for work and I need one to run in, if that's what I do, and I need another one to relax in or something. So they say, okay, 3 pairs of shoes, that's it. The rest I'm going to give away, or 15 other pairs of shoes, whatever it is. How many shirts do I need? How many pairs of trousers? How many dresses? How many whatever? And they cut everything down and they take everything else and they give it away. And then they work through every room in their house and they say, how much of this stuff do I need? And they pare it all down and it's known as the minimalist movement. I don't think it has Christian origins, but it could well have. Because to pray, give us today our daily bread, is to change our attitude to what we have and what we could have, but we choose not to because we recognize the source of all that we have. So as we pray, we recognize God is the provider. This second word, sufficiency, I'm just beginning to touch upon that. There's that lovely phrase that was shared with me many years ago, how much is enough? How much is enough? The answer is just a little more. Yeah. How much is enough? Just a little more. How much is sufficient? And that comes down to this minimalist thing. how much is sufficient. If we pray the prayer as followers of Jesus, if this is to be our distinctive statement about who we are, and people look at us and say, look what they're saying, understand what they're doing, give us today, God is the provider, they have a different attitude to stuff. They have a different attitude to food. They want to understand how much they should have. How much is sufficient? How much is enough? That's what we're asking as we pray. Give us today our daily bread. I think in the last few years, a regular trek for Sarah and myself has been to charity shops. I love buying stuff in charity shops, you know. Yesterday, a couple of really good bargains, things I was looking out for. But the trek is taking stuff from our house. Do you ever look around your house and think, how did this get here? Did you ever get there? And so I remember Sarah said, just remember, everything in this house came through that front door. You know, it didn't just arrive. We bought it, or it was given to us. And this awareness of sufficiency, how much do I need? How much do I need in terms of possessions, clothes, gadgets? How much do I need in terms of food? How much do I need to have in the freezer or in the fridge? You know, is the ice age going to come and I won't be able to go to Tesco and so I need to stock up for several months in the freezer or whatever it is? How much is enough? And when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we are placing ourselves in a different place, saying God is the provider. And we look differently at what we have. And we seek to understand more acutely, how much do I actually need? Now, this next slide, I wondered about putting it up, but I'm going to do it. And it's a very small print. UK food and drink waste through the food chain. This came out last year. And there's all sorts of ways in which food and drink is wasted. But here's the important one. Household waste, 7 million tons of food and drink waste per year. Right? 7 million tons of food waste comes out of our households every year. And this equates at £470 per household. Now, this is averaged out, of course, and it's, you'll know there's an unequal wastage per household. If you've got families, the chances are you're wasting more food than if there's just a couple or a single person in your household. But it works out as £470 per household. And the site I was looking at said something, you know, you could feed 10 children in Africa for a year for that. Or you could buy 3 ukuleles. You know, that was the alternative. Okay. But the serious point is, how much is enough? And it's not something we can dismiss and say, oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Because if we put ourselves in the position of saying, I want to be a follower of Jesus, and Jesus gives us this prayer that says, this is what is distinctive about you. This is what marks you out. And you pray, give us today our daily bread. Then we need to understand what we have. And how much is enough? And it begins to change our attitude to things, to food, to the environment, to ecology. All of these things begin to be impacted because we realize that God is the one who provides and we will not waste what God has given to us. And as we all know, there is plenty in the world for everybody. But much of it is wasted. So sufficiency. And then fairness. If we pray, give us today our daily bread. Earlier we read from Isaiah 58. And we have a group of people who that Isaiah is speaking to. Isaiah the prophet has been motivated, inspired, stirred by the Spirit of God. And he speaks because what he sees is that there are all these religious people following God, seeking to follow God on a daily basis. And what he sees is that they're doing all the right stuff. But he says there's something missing. The fasting, this spiritual act that God acknowledges, that God desires from you, is that you feed the hungry. You clothe the naked. You house the homeless. You give to all those in need. And when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we recognize the provider and we deliberately choose to understand that and to live by that. God provides and I won't waste it and I won't have too much and it will change my attitude to everything that I have and I think I need. I will say, how much is enough for me? But then I will look beyond and say, how about those who do not have? How about those who do not have? Because we know that economic systems are biased against the poor. And they're in favor of those of us who have stuff. That's capitalist economic systems. Horrifying statistic that came out the end of last year. The top 1% of the richest people in the world have as much wealth as the poorest 80%, which is terrifying that they have so much. And if we pray, give us today our daily bread, we say that is wrong. And we understand there is a work, there is an activity for us about equity, about fairness. And I was struck over the years, I've been, you know, reflected on the whole thing about the British Empire. And I don't know, there was somebody on the radio the other day who'd just got an MBE. No, not an MBE, an OBE from the Queen. And you might be big fans of the British Empire, you know. But we need to understand that the British Empire was built upon pillaging other places. We need to understand that people went to India when it was a very affluent and rich place. And when the British left, they were among the poorest. Why did that happen? It's because we took it all for ourselves. We need to understand that the Industrial Revolution could not have happened for us at the speed at which it happened if it was not for slavery. We need to understand that. And when we say, give us today our daily bread, this is what we're engaging with. We're talking about equity and fairness. We're talking about God as our provider. We're talking about what is sufficient for me. We're talking about justice for the poor. Because they may pray and they haven't got because we've got it. And this is where the rubber hits the road for us. If we pray this prayer and if we mean what we say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. May God in his mercy help us to make his word a home in our hearts. In the name of Christ, amen.